This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Good to see you. Welcome to everyone joining us online as well and in the parents' room. It's great to be together on this Pentecost Sunday. Now, there are moments in life where everything looks right on the surface. Everything's good, but something underneath isn't quite there. For example, you can have the job that you wanted, the job that you prayed for, perfect job. You're like, oh, thank you, Lord, for this job. And still, you can have days where you wake up going, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You might have the perfect, you might have your dream home, dream house. The dream house that you dreamed of. And still yet, every month, the date rolls around when the mortgage is coming out and you're just hoping and praying that there's enough money in there to service it. You might have the family you prayed for. You know, you've got a family, young kids, and then after the fifth wake up of the night, you're thinking to yourself, thank you, Lord, for this blessing, but it doesn't feel like a blessing right now. Right? Looks right on the surface, ticks all the boxes, but something underneath that's not sustaining what's going on the surface. Anyone had that feeling before? You know what I'm talking about? What you've been given is real, it's good, maybe even it's from God, but there's a quiet awareness, an awareness in you that if something doesn't flow into this, it's not going to last. Now, there's this little story tucked away in the Old Testament that we're going to look at today on Pentecost Sunday. This little story that I stumbled across in my devotions. I have a chronological Bible where I read from Genesis to Revelation across the course of the year. Now, every preacher or pastor will tell you that you should not do your sermon prep while you're also doing your daily devotions, because that's for you, not for church. But on this, and I would usually stick to that, but on this occasion, I broke my own rules. Where I stumbled across this passage that I'm going to read to you today, this story, this ancient story about something that the Lord did back in the day, and I think it's going to encourage us today. It's going to open a conversation that's much bigger than this story itself. Joshua chapter 15, verse 16 to 19, we're going to read it. If there's parts of it that you're like, what is going on here? You're in good company, because that's the first thing that I thought when I first read it. And then we're going to explain what's going on. We're going to unpack it together. And Caleb said, whoever strikes Kiriath Sefer and captures it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, brother of Caleb, captured it. And he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. When she came to him, she urged him to ask her father for a field. And she dismounted from her donkey. And Caleb said to her, what do you want? She said to him, give me a blessing. Since you've given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water. And he gave her both the upper springs and the lower springs. That's the word of the Lord. Amen. What's going on? Okay, so this is Caleb, who is one of the faithful spies. When Israel were going and they'd been promised the promised land, and they were thinking about going across into the promised land, and they thought, we don't know if it's good land or bad land. We don't know who's there. We need to send out some spies into it. So they sent out some spies into the promised land, and then they came back, and most of the spies said, no, it's scary. The people are too big. We were like grasshoppers to them. There's no way we can do it. Caleb was one of the guys out of two who said, let's go. The Lord's with us. We can do this. And the Bible said he had a different spirit. Caleb was one of the faithful, brave, faith-filled spies. And now, in this story, they're in the promised land. They're living in it. And they're dividing it all up. They're drawing up all the lines, figuring out which tribes are going to live where. Where are they going to all be? And they're setting up the whole design, designing out where all the tribes are going to live. And in the midst of that, Caleb's daughter is about to get married. And she gets some land. as part of the marriage. Of course, that's what you do, right? You know, you're about to get married and you send out your invitations and you also send out the wedding registry with the little link that people can click and everyone gives gifts. She's doing the same thing. She's about to get married and she is about to move on into this part of her life, and Caleb comes to her, the dad, and he says this question: what do you want? It's a good question. What do you want? It's a great question because Jesus asks this question. And it's a question that you can answer in a whole bunch of different ways. You can answer it kind of surface level. You can answer it in theory. You can answer it even spiritually, but what God wants is an honest answer. What do you want? Now, I love it because Aksa, Caleb's daughter, when he asks her this question, she doesn't hesitate. She has an answer straight away. What does she say? She says, give me a blessing and give me also springs of water. First point is this: inheritance is not enough without provision. She says, give me a blessing, give me also springs of water. Why is she saying that? Well, the land that she'd been given, the Negev, is semi-arid. It's dry. It's got no water in it and it's got no life in it. So as she walks around, or she rides around on her donkey on the land that she's about to receive, she goes, this is good, but I'm going to need something more than this if it's going to survive, if it's going to thrive. You've given me land, but I need water if this is going to live. Because a dry land without water represents potential without fulfillment. It's promise without sustainability. It's opportunity without life. And if you are honest, you know this and I know this. Because how many know you can have a marriage that's a marriage on paper, but unless there's connection and life in it, it's not going to survive. How many know that you can have a job that you love, that you think, oh, this is the best job, but if you get up and go to your job every day and you hate it, it's not going to survive. We need something more than the inheritance on paper for something to work if it's really going to live. You can build something significant. Imagine you build a great big career for yourself. You've got a great sense of connections. You're moving forward. Maybe you've got a great business. But without daily presence and provision, that's not going to survive. It won't make it. You can even have church growth. Church can grow, ministries happening, life, new faces every week. But without the sustaining presence of God, it becomes dry and it becomes routine and it becomes religion. We need something that flows. Now, this is this theme that runs all the way through Scripture. In Garden in Eden, Genesis chapter 2, what is there? There's rivers, four of them, that flow out of Eden that water the rest of the earth. In Ezekiel 47, there's a picture of a temple, and out of the temple flows a river, and the leaves of the trees that are along the river are for the healing of the nations. And then Jesus even says to people when he stands up, he says, whoever believes in me, out of his heart will flow what? Rivers of living water. And so Aksa to her father says here, don't just give me something to manage. Give me something that will sustain life. I want to talk a bit about prayer and disappointment. Because many of you and me, we're living in answered prayers. Answered prayers. So there are things that you are living in right now and today, things that you prayed for and that God answered. How good's that? And you're able to say, look at all the things that I didn't have, or the experiences that I didn't have, or the place where I was versus the place that I am now. And me being in the place that I am now is a result of God answering my prayers. Anyone? Right? We have that happening. We've cried out. The things that we longed for, we now live in. And the things we cried out for, we now carry. The relationship, family, opportunity, responsibility. At one point, it was just the prayer. And now you're living in it. But if we're honest, those things you're now living in And the ticked boxes now feel like a bit of a burden. And you're living in the promise, but you're like, man, why does it feel so dry? The answer isn't that God hasn't been faithful. The answer is that what God gave you and was meant to be sustained by his presence has just been sustained by your effort. And you're living in a dry and weary land that's been given to you by God, but there's no springs. There's no sense of continued flourishing life. And this is where Axa, she's awesome. She's so perceptive. Because what she doesn't say, gets off her donkey and goes up to Caleb and says, I've had a look around the land and it sucks. It's crap. It's dry. It's no good. I don't want it. Take it back. Give me something else. She doesn't reject the blessing. She says, thank you. And it's also going to need this. It's not, some of us need this language today because some of you, the words that you speak over yourself are this, something's wrong with my life. Something's wrong, something's broken, something's damaged, it's not good and I don't want it. Oh, God has let me down or something like that. What I want to encourage you to say of your life, I need the springs. Give me the springs. Maybe for you, your ground feels dry in your faith. Like you still believe, but it just feels like your prayer's hitting the ceiling. It feels like when you open the word, it's just dry. There's nothing going on. And it feels like, man, everything just feels like it's hard work. I don't want to go to my small group. Even the thought of just attending church, it's just like, oh, there's going to be nothing there for me. It just feels dry. Your faith feels dry. Maybe it's your home, maybe it's your family, you know, you're at home and it's demanding and it's constant output and there's very little space for you to be refreshed or refilled. Maybe it's your work, you're carrying a lot of responsibility, but you know Monday's coming and that thought does not bring you joy. Maybe you can't even name it clearly. You just know that something that used to feel alive doesn't feel alive anymore. And the danger for us when we feel like that, guys, is we push harder. Knuckle down, pull our socks up, reinvent, just drive even further, muscle up, just try and grind and grind and grind. And men are particularly good at this. Ignore the bad feelings, ignore the sad feelings, and just push on and just hope that it's going to get better. Just hope that it's kind of somehow miraculously things just change. There's a change in the tide. But my friends, don't just accept the land. Don't just manage what you've been given. Do not just survive the season. Ask for the springs. Ask for the springs. God, the land you've given me is good, but it's dry. I need the springs if this is going to sustain life. And that's the power and that's the story of Pentecost. Let's check out Acts chapter 1, 4-8. While staying with them, Jesus said, do not depart from Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Stay here, but wait for the promise of the Father. Just as you've heard from me, you've been baptized with water, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit in not many days from now. So they come together, they were hanging out together. Lord, at this time, will you restore the kingdom to Israel? He says, it's not for you to know the dates or times the Father has set by his own authority, but I'll tell you this, you will be my witnesses when you've received power. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What's he saying? The inheritance here. What's the land that they've been given? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What's the springs? You will receive power. Imagine Jesus goes, okay, I want you to be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So the first thing I want you to do is write up a business plan. I want you to go ahead and figure out how we're going to budget for this over the next 2,000 years. And we'll make sure that we've got some sustainability things in place. I want to know who the leaders are. I want to know what our growth strategy is. I want to know how we're going to get from here to there. And I want to make sure that it's all watertight, guys, because this can't fail. No. You will receive power, and that power is going to be the thing that allows all the rest to happen. So why do we think we can build anything apart from the power of the Spirit? Why do we think we can build anything? If the disciples couldn't do it, how can we build anything without relying on the presence and the power, the ever presence of God? Which is what we celebrate at Pentecost Sunday. Come on. Come on. And the other thing I love here in this passage is bold asking in the context of relationship. I love Acts are about this. So the more I've read this passage, the more I've kind of fallen in love with her as a person in the Bible, because she just, I love it. And I love the detail the Bible says. She gets off her donkey, rides up to Caleb, her dad. She's about to get married. Gets off her donkey, goes up to her, goes up and he says, "What do you want?" And she goes, "Appreciate the land, Dad, but I need the springs. Give me a blessing." Now, is that bold? Is it bold? Or is it just the fact that she knows she's a daughter of a great guy and she's asking in the context of close relationship? When you're close to your dad, you can ask him for anything boldly. She doesn't stay distant. She says, "Give me a blessing." There's no hesitation, no performance. She doesn't try and earn it because she's not approaching a stranger. She's approaching her dad. And the reason for us, many of us don't ask, isn't because we don't have needs. You could tell me 5, 10, 15 needs that you've got in your life right now. The reason you don't ask is because you stay distant and you somehow believe, you've stopped believing that he would actually answer. You've carried disappointment that never got resolved. You've prayed prayers that felt like they hit the ceiling and came back at you. And you've begun to live like a stranger in the house of God. And God is calling you to live like a daughter or a son who can ask boldly. It reveals God not just as powerful. The scripture reveals God as powerful indeed, but it also reveals him as Father. What about in Matthew 7, where Jesus goes, now, and I love it because he calls them all evil. Even though you're evil, he's like, even though because you're all, like you're dumb, you still know how to give good things to your kids. Why? Because they're your kids. And then he says, how much more will the Heavenly Father, who's not dumb or evil, will give good things to you? Of course he will. And Luke sharpens it and says, not only good gifts, but he says, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? The greatest gift. The greatest gift. Which one of you, when his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? The answer is, none of you would do that. Or if he wants a fish, he gets given a snake. No one would do that. So how much more will the Heavenly Father give to you what you ask if you ask in the context of close relationship? We struggle with the idea not that God can provide for others, but we struggle with the idea that God will provide for me, for us. We can say, oh, that's good for everyone else. But somewhere in there, there's a little clause, a little asterisk next to the statement that says it works for everyone, but it doesn't work for me. Whereas Axa comes and asks boldly in the context of relationship. Now, there's another thing here that I love. And this is something particularly about something that women, I think, do really, really well. They notice what others miss. Now, this will happen with Jodes. She'll walk into a room and go, chair there, table there, pictures on that wall, 3, and that goes over there, and then this room's going to feel 100% better. And then, of course, you do it, and you're like, oh, that's nice, feels comfortable, like feels good. Axa does the same thing. She walks in, she rides around the land on her donkey and goes, that's not going to work. Stable there, lodging there, animals are there, springs over there, well's going to go over here, and then that's going to make this work. Right? You might be the same thing. You might be in business as a woman and you're like, we need to cull that meeting, stop that person talking, get that person talking, and then this room's going to feel a whole lot better. Right? You just know where things go and you notice what other people miss. Whereas sometimes I'm a bit like, oh, yeah, that sounds really good. Oh, all of a sudden it's better. What happened? You know? And it was because there was a girl in the room who noticed. Right? Yeah. It's okay, guys. It's okay. I'm making fun of myself. Don't be offended. Don't be mad. Just laugh along. Yeah. Axis sees something. But this is a tradition in Scripture. Hannah. What about Hannah? She prays for a son. Samuel is born, and he becomes a forerunner for David. Abigail is there. She's with David, and she's like, David, if I'm going to stop you from being an idiot right now, and she stops from starting a war. Just noticing what other people would miss. You know? Over and over and over again. Axa saw what was needed for life to flourish, and she asked for it. Now, as you know, and we will try and be as a church really open and honest about church life, things that are going on in church life and things that are happening in and around us. So this is not a little detour from the message, but this is one area where this message is going to be grounded today in the life of our church. And that is this. There is a lot to celebrate in our church right now. I mean, how good we just celebrated. 33 people have come to faith at Frankston just in the last year. And it was 28 on the video. And Zeke told me on the weekend, last week, 33, which tells you something. The video's not that old. So that must mean, if my maths are right, that 5 people have come to faith in the last couple of weeks down there, right? So there's a lot to celebrate in the life of our church. And I know you see it. New faces. We celebrated over 20 baptisms here a couple of weeks ago. We celebrated some really incredible things. God is doing some significant things in and through the life of Discovery Church. And I love the way you said it, Vin. The wind is at our backs for the first time in a long time. And we should celebrate and enjoy that. We should enjoy it. But at the very same time as all of that is happening at Mount Evelyn, our giving, like our tithing, is going in the opposite direction. So at the moment, in this context, we're about $16,000 down a month. Now, in the context of an operating budget of over $2 million a year, it's not like panic stations, sky is falling in, but it does tell us something. Because if that trend continues, the community work that we do, church planting ideas that we have, mission to youth, vulnerable people, all of that, it affects what we can say yes to. Mission partners, all the things that we believe God has called us to do together. And historically, the church is at its best when we pull together in hard times. For Christians, generosity has never been about paying bills or funding programs. It's been about how we worship and how we participate in the kingdom of God. Now, at Frankston, obviously their attendance has gone right up and their giving has also followed. Whereas it's weird and it's a bit of a confounding thing and something that our elders and myself scratch our heads at a little bit when we see that our attendance at Mount Evelyn's going up, but our giving is going down a little bit. So we're up about 16% attendance-wise this year at Discovery Church Mount Evelyn, which is why I hear all the time from people, oh, all these new faces, I don't recognize all these people. Yeah, that's because it's 16% growth this year just at our church. So 16% of the people, at least, you don't know. And that's people coming to faith, evidenced by our baptisms. That's people transferring in from other places and different things, different seasons. How good's that? Any church would dream for that. And at the same time, our giving is down about 12%. So it's this kind of weird mix that we have that we live in at the moment. And so I do want to say to those of you in our church who faithfully give and sacrificially give week after week, month after month, and help carry the ministry and mission of this church forward, thank you so much. You guys are the engine room of what we're doing and of the way that things are moving forward. You guys are the reason why that growth is happening, because you faithfully step into that space every single week. I also understand right now that we're in a kind of wild time culture-wise. People are doing it tough. Cost of living pressures are real. Interest rates are real. Groceries are real. Fuel prices are real. I get it. I understand all of that. And if you're visiting like Discovery Church today, or you're exploring faith, just la, 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 let this just wash over you. This is not from you, and this is not pressure for you, but Discovery is your home, and you believe in where we're heading as a church. I think it's worth asking how you might partner with us in the seasons ahead. Now, for some of you, that just might mean making a commitment to give consistently and faithfully. For others, it might be revisiting what generosity looks like for you in this season of life. And if you're new or visiting, or you're part of that 16%, and you're thinking to yourself, this might be home for me, then maybe part of planting yourself here is also investing into the life of the church. Don't just accept the land, guys. Ask for the springs. Ask for the springs. Because people finding Jesus matters. People finding a place in Jesus' story matters. People's families and lives being restored really matters. And so we're asking for the springs. What would it look like if we were to live out of the springs together? Now, what we've touched on this passage, but we haven't touched on Caleb's response. Because this would all fall pretty flat if Caleb went, nah, to her request, wouldn't it? or if he said, here's what we'll do, Axa. Why don't you live there for a year and then you can bring me back a report and just tell me the pros and cons, tell me the things that were good and the things that were hard, and then we'll revisit at that point, kind of kick the can down the road. Does he do that? He doesn't. She says, give me a blessing. Give me also springs. And what does he do? Give her just enough? No. It says he gives her upper and lower springs. Generosity to the max. Over the top. More than what was asked. He goes beyond the initial request. It'd be like, you know, you ask for one thing here and then you get double. And you're like, oh, I didn't ask for double. Guess what? You got it anyway. Why? Because God is good. Caleb's response is striking. He doesn't hesitate and he doesn't ration. He doesn't go, well, how much do you think you're going to need to make this thing really, you know, really grow? Well, you know, send me a budget of how you're going to spend this water. Upper and lower springs. Now, I love it because when I thought about upper and lower springs, I thought about the upper and lower springs in our own life. The upper springs are the breakthroughs that people can see. The life, the energy, the answered prayer, the breakthrough, the things that are going on that people can see and go, wow, God's blessed you, look at that. And then there's the lower springs. What are the lower springs? The unseen things. The endurance to get you through a hard season. The peace that comes in grief. The strength that comes, the grace that holds you together when no one else sees. The peace in the middle of anxiety. Some of us thank God for the upper springs because they're the visible ones and they're the most common ones. But I think years later, we realized that the lower springs were the greater gift, the hidden faithfulness, the unseen sustaining grace, the quiet strength that kept you alive when you didn't think you were going to make it. Ask God for the springs. Don't just accept the land. This is where it all comes together. Because Axa asks for water around her to make the land live. And Jesus comes to not just bring water around us, but by the Holy Spirit to bring water in us and through us to make the land live. Amen. Let's stand together, church. Team, you can join me. Come on. Let's go. All right. Don't just accept the land. Ask for the springs. We're going to pray now. And we're going to do something that is that you can completely like opt out of. So I'll say that from the outset. There is a sense to which being a Christian and following Jesus is participating in a community. It's very, very difficult to be a Christian and not go to church. It's very, very difficult to be a disciple of Jesus and just do that in your bedroom because we need each other, right? Emmanuel means not just God with me, but God with us. There is a unique experience about being gathered together where we experience the power and the presence of God alive and at work in a group of people. We're saved into community. We're saved into a church experience that is corporate. Now, it might be small, it might be a group of 10 people, it might be a group of 10,000 people, but it doesn't matter. It just means that we need each other. And in this moment, when I remember the sending of the Spirit in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. They were all gathered together in one place. And it said the Holy Spirit came and tongues of fire rested and separated and rested on each of them, the place that they were sitting. And they were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as you perhaps have read the story. And the church was born. But what I'd like to do today, almost as a representation or a nod to that, is to pray for one another. And like I said, you can opt out of this. And if this is like not something that you want to do, just politely decline. But what I'd love you to do, you're all standing, nearly everyone's standing next to someone. And what I'd like you to do is just lightly and just place your hand on the shoulder of the person standing next to you. And we're going to pray together. So if you're standing next to someone, if you need to move up a row, move up a row, move along. Just lightly, you can decline it. Just say, I'll just pray on my own. That's all good. But what I would like to do is pray for us this morning as a body, as a group, where we stand with each other and ask to be filled by the Holy Spirit again. So Jesus, we thank you that we're gathered here today in your name. We thank you that it's on Pentecost Sunday that we remember and celebrate the sending of the Spirit, but we don't just remember that in the past as though it's history. We, Lord God, anticipate the reality of that in our lives right now. And we say together as one voice, God, don't just give us land, give us the springs. We need the sustaining power of God and the life-giving power of God to sustain the life that you've called us to. For those who are weary, God, I ask that you would send your Spirit to bring strength and courage and aliveness to their lives. For those who are lacking peace, God, may the Prince of Peace come to bring quietness in someone's heart. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you would send the helper, the encourager, the counselor, the comforter, the advocate to us, the Spirit of Peace, to dwell with us, to give us power for all that you've accomplished, that you want to do in us and through us. Holy Spirit, come. Do a work in us today. The wind is at our backs. And Lord God, we sense your call to go. I pray that you would raise up amongst this group people who would use their voices to preach the gospel. I pray that you'd raise up within this group people who would love the unlovable. I pray, Lord God, that you would, within this group, raise people up to go to far-flung ends of the earth to bring the gospel to people whom we do not know and we will never know. Lord, I pray that you would raise up in this group young people who would love and serve and encourage with the power and strength that God provides. Father, I want to pray that today as we lay hands on one another, that you would make sick people well, that you would bring sight to the blind, that you would open deaf ears, that the mouths of the mute would be unstopped. Lord God, that you would bring hearts and minds and spirits into alignment with what it is that you are doing. Jesus, we thank you for the wonder-working power of God. And we ask today that you would do it in our time. And that Discovery Church at Mount Evelyn and at Frankston and at every other place you want us to go would be alive with the power and presence of God and with the name, no other name but the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, breathe on us and raise up a vast army. Holy Spirit, come, bring your breath of life that we might live again, be animated with you. Holy Spirit, bring vision to those who cannot see the way forward. Bring sight, spiritual sight, to those who are needing answers. Lord, to others, you're giving an experience today that they just cannot deny or explain away. Some here have been asking, God, are you even real? And today he's answering that prayer. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd minister to us, through us. Lord God, that we would be your witnesses to our street, to our suburb, to our region, to our nation, and to our world. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone in Discovery Church said, amen and amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.